Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Great Connect podcast. I'm Carrie Allen, host and founder of the Human Array. Today, I am so excited to be joined by a duo. Ruth Bazina and Nick Chorn-Pavic are joining me to talk about the power of three. And I hope you are as enticed by that title as I am. So welcome, ladies. Very excited to have you here today.
Hi.
Thank you.
So glad to be here.
Yay. So exciting. All right. So we are going to dig into this concept of the power of three. But before we do that, I would love to have Nick introduce yourself, and then we'll pass it over to Ruth. And just a little bit of who you are and maybe a little taste of what the power of three means for you.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thanks. Thanks for having us. My name is Nick Chorn-Pavic. I also go by Dr. Nick. I have a clinical doctorate in physical therapy. I've been in practice for 25 years in that role. I call myself a movement medicine maven because I've been moving probably since before I was born, but started dancing when I was about 3 years old and followed a track of fitness and wellness and dance and aerobics and fitness competitions. And so my realm has primarily been in the physical realm, doing all of the things that, you know, our kind of paradigm tells us to do for health and wellness until I realized that it almost broke me. And so that was where my evolution began into starting to understand a more robust, holistic, and expansive version of what it means to move, not only from the standpoint of our physical bodies, but also moving our thoughts, our beliefs, our emotions, and including, for me, a very spiritual base. And so I've taken a pretty hard pivot to be integrative into all of those realms. And so for me, the power of three is... gosh, so many things. I've gotten into astrology and numerology lately, and specifically in the world that we live in right now, which I would say, you know, is very polarized. You know, it's either kind of a this or that paradigm. It's for me, the power of three is bringing in an element of divine. What does that mean for us to pull in layers of yin and yang in the essence of like this integration piece? So I'm really excited to talk about that more and what Ruth and I have brought into the field together with Carrie and the Human Array. So I'll pass the mic over to Ruth.
Awesome. Thanks, Nick. Thanks so much for having us, Carrie. Okay, so a little bit about me. I'm an intuitive wellness guide, and basically, that's simply working with someone's intuition, guiding them to embrace it, trust it. And I started my journey, I guess, in 2020 with bibliotherapy, and it's morphed into women's circles. That's how I met Nick. She was my mentor. And yeah, it's taken on more of this intuitive guidance kind of work. I think lately I've established like exactly what it is that I need to be doing. And at this point in time, just with intuitive health and trust and stories, because stories have remained the base for what I do, and how I work. And we'll talk a bit more about how we're bringing that into Cosmic Twister as well. And I think the power of three has been coming up a lot lately. And that's why we had the kind of conversation with Nick as well. And I think it's a lot personally about renewal and transformation. As Nick was speaking about, you know, polarity, I think in some ways it has always been there. You know, the philosophy of duality and non-duality, which would be the third. Right. Mm-hmm. So the power of three has always been there in the background. I've just finally started to really see it. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of the work that we do is just that, right? The awareness around who we are, what we do, what's happening, and seeing with our inner vision.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so you both tapped into kind of this third essence that kind of comes through, right? And what I'm feeling into is this idea of kind of the observer effect, that perhaps there's, yes, maybe two sides to a coin, but somebody's seeing the coin to be able to know that there's two sides. So I'd love for, is that a little bit of what you're tapping into here, or does that just play into this same concept?
I'll let you go on that one, Ruth.
Okay. I feel it's a really interesting analogy to use as well, because I do like kind of having the notion of the observer there,
Yeah.
where you are your own observer, not that someone external, right, is coming in and observing you,
Yeah.
but that you can sort of almost detach yourself and not remain fully engulfed in a scenario, and you're just observing it to create that space,
Yeah.
to create that sense of multiple perspectives and possibility.
Yeah.
I think that is what came up when you said observer, and I think it's also kind of equated with the pause. You know, to be able to pause between action and reaction is to be able to observe, quite
Yeah.
literally, right?
Yeah.
So I think a lot of it has to do with that as well. Yes, I think it does play into what we bring up. And whilst we're kind of playing around, because we are playing around with the concept of contrasts.
Yeah.
And obviously, when you're mentioning like black, you're thinking of white as well, right? You have them both in your field of awareness.
Yeah.
You're also thinking gray.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there are so many different things that come up when you're talking about non-duality, the power of three. I think it's limitless, right? It's boundaryless
Yeah.
almost. Yeah,
I
I
love
don't know,
that.
Nick.
As you're talking about the pause, I just want to say, like, the visual that's coming up for me is like, right, when you have two, it's flat, and then you add the third, and then you literally create space in the triangle, right? Like, as you're saying that, that's just kind of the visual that keeps coming in. So, yeah, Nick, jump into that.
Yeah, I can get so philosophical and go in so many different directions. So I wanted to give Ruth a little space to bring some context to yeah, to her space. To me, it feels, the number three in numerology is divine, and it pulls us out of that, limited dimensionality. And so, yeah, when we think about something that's, on a plane, a straight line, you have this to that, and that you have to go from here to there. And so, speaking from the standpoint of, the observer being presenced, you're being in the now, there's really no place. You're in a still point. You're there.
Yeah.
So we're not in the past, we're not in the future, we're, central in that three point place. And so there's a divinity to being here in the now, where, we also have that capacity to be able to step out of ourselves and be the observer. And yet though we have a blind spot where we have this, as, earth-based beings, a necessity to be reflected, to have our blind spots reflected back to us. So there's like an essence of our divinity that lives in this kind of etheric realm, but being here in this Gaia space of being earthbound, where there's limitations. And I think we're in this cusp, we're like really in this, in astrology it's called the aneretic degrees, where all of the outer planets were moving out of the end phase of something and into the start, the beginning. We're launching into, what I would say is the age of Aquarius, where, with Pluto and Aquarius, it kind of initiated this. And so there's so many things that are happening that are kind of snowballing us into that, other realm. And so this new dimension, this kind of, we're building into the, world of the unknown to feel, we can almost palpate it, right? Like there's, we're coming into that new space of dimensionality. So you go from a line and you add a third point to it, right? And now you've got like a three-dimensional, object, right? So Yeah, there's so many ways where I think that this analogy is relevant and certainly has upleveled my own understanding and appreciation of what it offers, you know, when we take things out of, you know, the limitations of, you know, of dimensionality and bring this, you know, divinity into the equation. We don't have to be this or that, you know, it brings this opportunity for unity consciousness. There's a sacred third, right? And when we remember who we are, what that brings, there's like this ability to go, oh, okay, I don't have to keep pinging in this, you know, space of, you know, this or that.
You both said you're seeing it and feeling it everywhere. I certainly, as we dove into this conversation, can think of so many different examples in the world that I live in, where that's coming up. But I'd love to hear, like, what are some of the things that you are observing in the world that is kind of showing you that this shift is potentially happening? What are those little glimmers for us?
I'm going to start with that one. I can take it. I can take the mic because I'll just continue that
Go
same thread that I was
for
going on. I see in the
it.
clinic as a clinician. So, you know, I tend to practice in the, you know, mainstream world of clinical healthcare. I also, you know, have my own practice where I can be a little bit more woo-woo because, you know, historically, 25 years ago when I started out, you know, you wouldn't say astrology without, you know, somebody really judging you hard. And, you know, this has been many shades of facades that I've kind of had to wear in order to kind of be taken seriously. And so, you know, it brings back that, you know, aspect of how we view our own health. And I would say, you know, I'm starting to see clinically patients coming into the world of healthcare at kind of as their own advocates and starting to be a little bit more playful, a little bit more open-minded. So again, like I mentioned earlier, the physical realm of health, looking at things from the standpoint of, you know, what's my body doing mechanically? What's the drug that I can do? You know, that's all a physical correction. What's the surgery I can do for it? I think people are starting to realize that there's it's a multidimensional path, and there's more aspects to health than just looking through the physical lens. And so it took like a leap, and this was maybe like 10 years ago, where it went from just being body focused to being mind body focused. And so then, you know, I think there was a little bit of digestion of like a different through a different lens of saying, okay, well, you know, maybe my thoughts have something to do with how I feel. And then in the last, you know, maybe 5 years, we're starting to see a little bit more of this introduction of, oh no, well, it's mind, body, spirit. And so, okay, well, what does it mean for me to bring in some aspect of, you know, the unknown, the unseen? And so again, here we are with the power of three, right? And so my own evolution has been, you know, this similar process. I see it in my patients as well as being, you know, really open to the idea of, you know, incorporating those other dimensions of health, it not being so linear, not so straightforward. It's not a ladder, it's not wonder. You know, we're working in this journey that's just multidimensional and multifaceted. So I find it really exciting that I can, you know, bring things up like, you know, what is this resonance? Like, what is this bringing up for you emotionally? What is this bringing up for you physically? You know, have you spent any time in meditation? Like, it's not as woo-woo anymore. So I do feel that there is, you know, this building. It's something that I don't have to like, you know, hide and be like, oh no, I'm gonna get ruined if I bring up something like this. So I do see the growth in this. A growth in people's capacitance to understand what multidimensional means or the power of three for healing.
Yeah, I love that, right? Just an expansion of what's possible. I love the words that you said about advocating for themselves, and that in and of itself feels like a big shift of just bringing the power back to ourselves and remembering that we're a part of this discussion, not just a vehicle that exists here, and it can go into the shop and get fixed, right? So, yay. Ruth, is there anything you wanted to expand upon in that?
I definitely feel like mind, body, spirit is definitely how we I work as well with the power of three personally. I feel like Nick also kind of went into this as whilst we're healers, we're also on our own healing journey. So it's like we have to keep that in mind, right? The intentionality of the trees in whatever we do. And I do try to infuse that, try to remember that for my own self as well. Whatever we do, even if it's exercise, even if it's, I don't know, a simple cooking, you know, activity, anything that we do in the mundane as well as the creative world, can be made so much more beautiful if it's done with intention. And that kind of requires us to go in wholly, right? With our mind, body, and spirit. And it takes practice. It's not easy, right? It's not a kind of yeah, let's do it and you feel it. I think it just takes practice. It's like a muscle. Am I doing something and being fully focused on it, not thinking about my other to-do list? Am I putting my whole self into this? You know, am I, you know, purely going into it with this intention for growth, for whatever it needs to be? And yeah, and then kind of diving into whatever you want to do. I think it's a really beautiful exercise and something to maybe an intention to carry as well as a practice. And I feel like when you ask the question of how we see it, sometimes I will see kind of the tree come up more in my, you know, vision of awareness, even if it's like, oh, this is 33 33, or you know, something like that, tree 33 when it's the time. And it starts to come up even more. I think that's super interesting. And it's not only with the number tree, right? It could be another number which is kind of divine and meaningful to anyone else. And I feel like right now the tree is powerful for me as well in letting go. And what do I need to remove from my sphere of focus? And I try to, I think three is a very good number as well. Like we mentioned, it's balance. So if I'm removing something, I'm also balancing what I'm removing or adding. I think as creative beings, we're always adding. We're always creating. We're always, you know, coming up with different ideas. And sometimes, at least I find it hard to just say, okay, now it's enough. This is what I need to focus on. And so three right now is also coming up for me to shed.
Oh, that's gorgeous. I love that. I also very, what do you mean just keep adding more and never letting go of anything? Like three, it's a strong, triangles are strong, right? They just keep stacking on top of each other. But I think that's really powerful to think about, like, how are we focusing our attention and how is that bringing us clarity in that process of what needs to go, what's ready to stay, more of the flow. I can't help but think about just the number of conversations that I hear that while it feels like a long time coming, there's a little bit more like discussion and critical thinking in just our conversations. And perhaps that's because more people are have access to podcasts, to more information, right? The internet is a beautiful thing in some ways and also other things. And but that to me feels like a power of three thing that I can hold space for maybe another option that I hadn't really considered, right? Instead it's for or against. And then now I see beautiful conversations just allowing, huh, that's interesting. I hadn't considered that, and that feels like a three too. So I know that that sparks a lot, and also how you guys are coming together this summer to weave all this into a circle or maybe something else. So I'd love for you to jump into that. No, so much to say. My body's going, oh, yeah,
Yeah.
that. The third thing is the integration, right? We've got the this or the that, but how do we, how do we join those things? It's like, what, where's the integration? Ruth, when you were talking about self-care, I noticed, this, I think what where the opening space is, we're, moving into this capacitance for curiosity and for presence, right? So it's those things that we've already spoke about. Was this, we have a little bit more of like an ability to get out of our like trauma bodies and like, jumping right into a response or more of a reaction and coming into more of a response where we can kind of just, sit with whatever emotion, whatever thing is coming up. And so there's this ability to integrate. I said there's healthcare, there's self-care, and there's health self-care. And so this marriage of healthcare and self-care comes from this integration of intelligence and intellect. And so in the world of science and medicine, which is the world that I come from primarily, is you're leaning into a lot of this intellect with which leaves out the understanding and for intelligence, which is largely this yin, this feminine, not to say female, but it's a feminine kind of right-brained ability to really feel into what it is that's intrinsic, what is the thing that's unspoken, what is the thing that our internal body systems are telling us. And so it's like, oh, there's no place for that. There's no place for that. But the more we're, starting to really lean into what it is our self-care, we dive into that inner space, right? And we're also able to kind of find the places that are true in the outer space. So you've got kind of this holofractal universe of, these different dimensions that are playing out together. And so as a human, we're learning how to integrate it. And so all of that to say that, one of my big aha moments was in learning how to become a facilitator and then becoming a facilitator trainer. When Ruth and I met, we had this kind of commonality that we both were kind of intrinsically attuned and nature-based humans through and through. And so you can kind of see, through Taoist philosophies, and I pretty much, kind of, I would say all nature-based and natural law, just being presence in nature, that there's a harmonious aspect to cycles and rhythms and integration of, what we would formerly think of, it's the this or the that. It's either day or it's night, and night, forget it. It's dark. We don't go there. Let's just look at the light. And I think spirituality to some degree took on this bypass, and that's a conversation for another time. But what I see is that, instead of going here or here, to bring things back into the center, allows us to bring us into wholeness. And so when I met Ruth, I call it my grounding force. She's the source that brings me down, because I have so much air and fire in my chart, I can just launch in like a split second. Having our kind of common language of nature, we have the ability to kind of bring our own geniuses together. And so Ruth was really leaning into this, very Gaia, nature-based. And though it's, kind of was intrinsically natural for me, I started to kind of lean my energy more into astrology. And so, I call this Gaia Galactic consciousness that's coming together, right? When we come into our particle nature of the physical body, we come really deep and kind of land in, what's Ruth's genius is bringing metaphor, through stories, through myths, through archetypes, has this like ability to kind of come inward. And that's what the new moon offers, this dark space. And then you've got, this real outer expansive, like can't really touch it idea of astrology that just, brings us into this galactic realm. What else is out there, right? There's a curiosity, for many people, for me, I'll speak for myself with, what is this extraterrestrial realm? Who are the galactics? All these people who are channeling and bringing all this in divine information has started to land for me personally. And, I, as a science person, I'm going, wait, what the heck? But being a facilitator of circles, I gave myself permission and the courage to be able to say, whatever is happening here, I'm here for it. And here's a safe space. And so Ruth and I began co-facilitating circles and bringing, I would bring my kind of expansive, really philosophical out way out there-ness. And she's kind of grounding us into like this real earthy space of, of story. And just, that combination of the two things, I think really allows people to integrate whatever it is we're going through. There's a, a personal, I think, interest in wanting to understand our blind spots, to dive deep into our shadows. But what I'm seeing, it's and what I know from my own experiences is it's just really hard to say, I'm going to do it by myself. I'm going to lean into, we can read a story. We can, just sit there in meditation. But with the experience of bringing it into, let's bring in the kind of the cosmic tone. What's the energy of the moment? What's that bringing up for me? And what are my old stories? Like, where are these, where is this myth that's coming from some kind of an ancient place and some weird galactic place? Like, where does this all come together in me? Like, this is like the work that I think is this, medicine for the moment, just being able to harmonize that intelligence, using information and intelligence and just intuitive knowing to pull it together again into this little trilogy of health and harmony. And so Cosmic Twister Circles has really been the birthing of this consciousness, this Gaia Galactic consciousness, and with the human array being able to kind of bring it into this platform of community. Nothing, this, like I said, doesn't happen alone. We need to do it together, to be witnessed, to feel safe, to feel held. So that's
Yeah,
a
you know
lot.
you speak my language for sure. But I love those words. I love that connective energy, and it feels so true to feel like the physical manifestation is a center point in this process, and that there's above and below, and so much can happen when we connect with both, right? And yes, maybe part two of the bypassy conversation, and we can go into that another day. But right, like if we're only escaping our bodies and looking for that meditative state or that experience that's outside of ourselves, and we're not actually fully embracing the experience that we have. And I love how your circles are bringing that into reality for people so that they can actually experience what it's like to do both together, of have whatever experience is coming up and then also connect it physically through the experience of the circle. And to me, Ruth, what as when you when we talked about how this was coming together, I just love the idea of story, because there is something very innately human about storytelling and how we've passed knowledge, and also something that makes it touchable, even though it's a story, right? But like there's something that makes it tangible and something to grasp onto. So I would love for you to share a little bit about your grounding energy that you bring to our galactic being in our presence, but also how what does stories mean to you, and how do you weave that in? What does that look like for you?
It's such a big question, Carrie. I think the first thing that comes to mind is that story is medicine. I feel like stories, like you said, are our oral tradition, right? Has always been there. And so it taps into something which is both nurturing, the kind of idea of being read to, creative spirit as well, like creating something, because you can always create your own story from what you're listening to. Although that is kind of goes into kind of another realm. But it's also just tapping into memory as well. So it feels that by using story, there's something very rooted as well.
Yeah.
And it also helps us see our own roots and the paths we are kind of walking in the moment, in the past, in the future, and just being with them right now and checking ourselves. There's how does this story relate to me in the moment? Because you can read it, 2 weeks, 2 years down the line, and it affects you differently, just like anything else. But I do love how Nick was phrasing that, like we do balance each other out. And I feel like there's a lot of the acknowledgement, right, that we are rooted beings and we are very kind of earthy, in touch with the ground and soil, and going back to that, whilst we are also kind of stardust. So I feel like it's interesting to see that we feel imbalance, and kind of we're bringing that into the sphere, into the circle itself, and seeing how that comes together, how to integrate everything. And meaning is very hard to kind of just like say what it is, right? Because the meaning of what we bring will be different for any participant. But yeah, I think that's part of where the curiosity comes in as well, for us as well as anyone interested in coming into these circles. I think it's just we need that playfulness. We need the space to have space. Yeah, it's there's a lot we could go into and say, but I feel like, the intention is coming into balance, is just going back to our roots, but also our kind of galactic sense and essence. And I feel like it's such a nourishing time and space to be in, and just to get to know yourself as well.
I want to tap in a little bit further on the concept of myths, right? So these have been around for a really, really long time. And I'd love for you to expand on what is beautiful about weaving in myths in particular, rather than your standard nonfiction story. I think everything can be a beautiful reflection for us, and we can receive so much if we allow ourselves and open ourselves to that opportunity, right? In any story. And there's something rich to me about myths and these old stories for us. What is it about that, Ruth?
I think the difference between kind of then and now, and us falling in love with these myths, these old stories, is that they really had the lessons for us. That's why they're timeless. Like some writing is just timeless. It's because we find ourselves, I think, in it. And it remains true. Whatever the age, I think myths and fairy tales have a really special place in my heart and my work just because of this, right? You can never go wrong. And I think you can also check yourself depending on the myth that you hold sacred, you hold true to yourself. Why am I holding this myth particularly close at this time? Do I see myself in the protagonist? Where am I in my own journey, kind of in reflection of the story? And it's sometimes it takes, like we're saying, being in circle and having this, even though we don't have advice giving, we have this kind of back and forth reflection of each other and the story in our own experiences and whatever comes out through the prompts. Where you get to question, right? You get to question, is this really a story for me? Why is it a story for me? I feel like this is something that has been interesting because even for me, right? I keep on learning. The myth of Sisyphus has been such a huge part of my journey, and I love it. But I feel like also sometimes you need to back away. And I think for a long time, I was just taking Sisyphus' story to heart and just leaning into it a lot. And in some ways, I became the rock. I became Sisyphus as the warrior.
Yeah.
When what I really want, need is his vision. His vision is a life of conviction and living that purely and simply. So sometimes you just have to kind of recalibrate and see why you're using the stories and how to use these stories.
Could you share just a little bit about that myth in particular, just to give us like the storyline so that people can
understand? Of course. So Sisyphus is known as the rebel, kind of, right, in myth. And he has seen Zeus kind of on one of his escapades. And the river god wants to know what has happened to his daughter. And of course, nobody's going to open their mouth against Zeus. But Sisyphus is kind of in a conundrum what to do. Because he is a king after all, right? He needs to take care of his people. There are different responsibilities that he needs to take into consideration. And so at the end of the day, the river god has, you know, stopped all the waters. He's kind of fully focused on his daughter. And Sisyphus can't have this because his people are dying of thirst, right? There's no water to feed anything or anyone. And so he tells him. He tells him what has happened to his daughter. And, well, maybe kind of cut the story short. Zeus finds out that it's Sisyphus who has kind of given him away, and he has to be punished, right? As in all myths. So he's punished by going to the underworld, going down to Hades. He manages to kind of get out of there thanks to Persephone, Hades' kind of caged wife as well, right? And he tells her, listen, I'm a king. I need a proper burial. I need a proper funeral. Let me kind of fix things at home I will come back. But of course, he's breathed fresh air. He's home. And he doesn't want to go back down to, you know, Hades. So he's kind of, you know, tricked them again. And this will not do.
Yeah.
So he is forced for eternity to shoulder the boulder up Tartarus. And this is why we have the image of Sisyphus walking up the mountain. It falls down again and he can go back down for it. And of course, if it stops there, then it's kind of a useless task. So Camus brought this in, right? Of how are we going to look at that? How are we going to give that meaning? And the meaning is in Sisyphus made these choices, and he made them because he felt they were right, right for himself, right for his people. So the purpose is that he does not feel defeated. He does not have any sense of defeat when he has to go back down the mountain and, you know, shoulder that boulder again. And so this is what story gives you as well, right? Perspective. You can stop and say, well, that's useless. That's pointless. He could have, you know, shut his mouth and stayed at home. but that wouldn't have done, would it? Because that's not who he was. And so how do you give meaning to what has happened and why it's happened? And also, you know, knowing yourself, because no other thing would do.
Right. He has the honor of shouldering that because he did what he felt was true for him. And it's reframing that. And that's really beautiful. I also love how you're weaving in this concept of, you know, we can visit a story and we may take something away the first time, right? Like, well, that's maybe, and that could be, well, that was worthless. Why did that happen? And this could be our own stories that we've created, or it could be a story that we read. And then sometimes you give it a little bit of space or time. And then, oh, that's interesting. I now see something a little bit different. And now I see something a little bit different. And you've even shared this beautiful story and how it's shifted for you in particular. And sometimes we hold a little too tightly to something when we gather the first meaning out of it. And I think that's the power of the reflection in a circle. And I'm gonna kind of weave Nick into this too, because I know so many of these myths come through in how we view the heavens or the astrology and them being there and allowing those myths. What I think is cool about bringing that into the astrology is that it shifts for us, almost not allowing us to stay so attached to one story and say, this is me, it's my plight in life, and here I am. So Nick, I would love to hear how these myths weave into the astrology view.
Such a beautiful it's a beautiful blend because there is like this marriage between myth and the cosmos. Like there's just I see when I first met Ruth and she started to facilitate these circles by using storytelling, and I was facilitating circle using astrology. There was like this, oh, there's this genius to both things, and I think that mythology, as well as astrology, because they're, kind of combined in many ways. And historically, we've only just kind of teased things apart in our really fractalized world. It's a portal for memory and it's a portal for authenticity. And, by taking, we kind of need all of the tools that we can grab onto. And we're trying, I think, as a society, as a humanity, to pull all these things back together. Everything's been so shattered. It's like, splattered all different pieces. And we're, really focused on looking at things from one particular, through one particular lens. And, just to say, when I started out my career in science, I was a microbiologist. I went to Rutgers University for a year, and I was so thrilled because I wouldn't ever have to read a book ever again. I was math, science, lab focused. Nobody was going to tell me like how to that I had to read something that was totally obscure and didn't apply to me, like just made absolutely zero sense. I was so unchallenged by the program there. I ended up transferring to Boston College so I would be in a liberal arts program where I could, ground myself in a more liberal arts program that would, kind of build this idea. I was like, ooh, I'm really missing something here. And I think that, science and, scientism, which I would say, our kind of society is moving towards, becomes a problem because when you unwrite the story from the foundation of everything, you just end up swimming in this kind of lost sea of broken pieces. And so it's helping to kind of pull all of that back together, our own memory of like the story has, our stories have so much in common with the stories that you say, like, oh, well, just that myth of Sisyphus, for example. So many people can relate to that, We feel that in our body. And when you're given the opportunity to say, oh my God, this exhaustion of like, I'm constantly trying to push this friggin' thing, I've got the weight of the world on my shoulders. When you listen to language, and really hear yourselves, and you can kind of hear everybody else's, interpretation of, their own personal stories, how they can relate to the myth, how we can relate to astrology. We relate to the energies, we relate to the stories, and you kind of bring it all together and see where it lands in yourself. Then that's the medicine. Like, this is where we're at as a society, is trying to be able to find the integrating, or to kind of create that, integrated tunnel to be able to like bring it all together. And what does it mean for me in my personal journey? And how do I make meaning of that so that I become more authentic? And that's my offering, because it's an internal peacemaking, right? When we understand, like we start to bring back who we are, and I would say that for me, astrology has really offered, those elements to bring all of my multiple parts and pieces together in honor, in even if the world doesn't see like the really kooky fun, playful, like bizarre astro weird side of me, like that's when I respect that for me. And then you're in a community, in a safe container where we can, be in ceremony consciousness, which just means that, we start with an invocation prayer, we land in the space, we dial into, whatever. It's not religious. It's just bringing in, whatever you connect to that's out there in the etheric realm of angels, of, gods, goddesses, guardians, guides, spirits, whatever it is. It's pulling all that is into our world, and just pulls it into this little safe sphere so we can become that one thing without judgment, without all the things that have, kind of distorted, our ability to kind of create that central channel where we're, tethered to Gaia and, have access to the cosmos. And so I can always go off on a tangent, but yeah, that's, just kind of the essence of, what this trinity, what this cosmic twister offering has in it, and it's so much. It's like, it's so simple. And
But it's so powerful, and that is weaving together of multiple things. I love that. Well, I don't love the visual, but I appreciate the visual of the swimming in a sea of broken pieces, right? Like I just had like these visions of like glass and that they're cutting us, and then but if actually they don't have to be sharp if they find their place, and how can we just rebuild like the beautiful container that's meant to be there rather than stabbing ourselves with broken pieces. Right? And so I just love that weaving. When I hear the story of Sisyphus, I immediately think of Saturn, and I personally have like a Saturn complex in astrology, which is the boulder and taking the boulder up the hill. And I'm like, yep, that's me. And for a long time, I bing, here's the world. For a long time, I attached to a shouldering of the weight, right? And then for me, I loved you sharing that story, Ruth. Thank you, because there is a shift in perspective as you continue to move through life and allow yourself the openness and that space and that expansiveness to say, wait, it's an honor for me to be moving all of this. Like, this is what I love to do. How can I take myself and look at myself in a slightly different way? And that's certainly what I have enjoyed about cosmic twister circles and that ability to just hold space for yourself. You said it before, Nick, right? Like the weaving of the healthcare and the self-care. And if we do them in isolation and not the integration, like we're still not doing ourselves better. But, and if we can and them, that's when things really start to exponentially shift rather than boulders up hills. I love that. I love that.
Absolutely.
Go ahead, Nick. What were you gonna
I was
say?
just going to say, my daughter has a stone polisher, and you take these little shards of stuff and you put it in a little bit of matrix and it kind of moves around a little bit until things become polished. And that's just such a beautiful analogy of what, what you had just said is just kind of to bringing that full circle is just, we're here to polish. We're here to polish ourselves together. And, all these little, gemstones then fit together. What's the difference between, this kind of random rock that you see outside and then you go to the store and buy, crystals, right? So it's just so beautiful. They're beautiful in their raw state and, they're beautiful and they're polished. And when you put them all together, it just, makes this really beautiful work of art. And so,
I love that. And kids are just so wise. Always.
indeed.
They take the time to look at the beautiful random rock that's on the side of the road that I'm like, oh yeah, that is pretty. out here doing my thing, not focused on just enjoying what's beautiful around me. And I know you two are both those people because the way you hold space together in a sphere, which I'm loving that you're bringing into that concept of it three-dimensional rather than just a circle, is really gorgeous. And I can't wait to see what else continues to unfold from your own exploration, right? You said it before, this like we're also healing and facilitating, and you know, that's what we're here to do. So I would love any closing thoughts of I mean, there's so many pieces. I'm like, oh no, we're at time. I don't want to be at time. I have
Well,
so many more things that I want to talk about.
and that's the beauty of Cosmic Twister, because you can, the conversation continues, right? It's this sphere, it's this place, it's a playground for emotions. And, all emotions, they're all welcome. Everything is safe, it's sacred. This is the way we are going to our, next version of humanity is, to play and to feel like okay with all things. Sometimes, we're crying, sometimes we're laughing. It's, nobody's trying to fix anybody. No one's trying to change anything. It's all sacred. It's all welcome. It's all beautiful. And I'm so excited. I'm so excited for this new iteration. It's just, next level. So appreciate y'all.
And to know that there's a safe space out there where I can come that way, that in and of itself feels really powerful and really exciting to know that it's there for you. And you get the opportunity to choose you and step into it. And that's been my biggest thing lately is choose you. Just choose. You get to choose.
Come as you are. You're a work in progress and you're already there. It's all good. So
Yeah.
beautiful.
Love that. Love that. Any other thoughts, Ruth, before we close out?
I just love how you've been saying weaving.
Yeah.
And it just for me linked because we are weaving our becoming. I think that takes us back into time and timelessness. But also the Moirais, the Fates, the tree
Yeah.
women who are weaving fate.
Yeah.
So I think it takes us also back to the power of tree.
Oh.
Yeah, and it's just an image, and I just didn't want to lose that.
Yeah. Oh,
Thank you for this
perfect.
conversation.
Oh, that's a gorgeous cherry on top. Yes, this is awesome. Thank you so much, both of you being here. We are wrapping this episode of The Great Connect, but we will be back with other catalysts from the community, as well as I expect we'll probably have part twos through infinity with this duo and maybe even on their own, just so that you can get to know Ruth and Nick a little bit more. We will have all the links for how to join Cosmic Twister, how to find and meet Nick and Ruth in the description of the episode. So check them out, come in, enjoy this beautiful circle. It is gorgeous. Choose you. And let's bring in this power of three to all of our lives so that we can continue to grow. Thank you so much for being here, and we'll see you next time.